Okay, b'shem kol Yisrael.
Whoa.
Okay. Page number one. First of all, I'm so happy we're doing these shiurim. I just wanna put that out there. The Torah of the Gra is so good, and is so much a part of the Masorah of this yeshiva that we have to learn the Gra. Let's start with Avarta, this week's parsha. It's in the Hakdama to the Biur HaGra on Shulchan Aruch, written by a grandson of the Vilna Gaon. The print is very small, so I apologize. But he's describing, again, the remarkable brilliance of the Gra when it came to uncovering secrets of Torah and uncovering new levels of Torah. And it's based on a pasuk in this week's parsha, so I thought that would be a good place to start. He says, O tashuv tir'en neflos gedolos me'ela. I'll show you even more wondrous things. B'masha tirgim ha'unkelis. On the pasuk, Am naval v'lo chacham. Am naval v'lo chacham. Parshas ha'azino. Shiras ha'azino. It says about the Jewish people, you're an am naval, you're a disgusting people. Naval b'rishos ha'Torah. You're a repulsive people. V'lo chacham, and you're not smart. Says Targum Unkelis, where it's underlined, Amma de kabilu oraisa v'lo chakimen. Unkelis translates Am naval v'lo chacham, a vile nation, a repulsive nation that's not wise. Unkelis translates Am de kabilu oraisa v'lo chakimen, the nation that received the Torah and they weren't wise. What does that have to do with Am naval v'lo chacham? How is Am naval v'lo chacham a nation that received the Torah and were not wise? So first I'll tell you a vart from the Gra that I'm very fond of, which I didn't put on the page in front of you. On this again, no one could figure out this unkelis. Like, no one could figure out what's the pshat. Am naval v'lo chacham equals Am de kabila oraisa v'lo chakimen, a nation that received the Torah. That's Am naval. So there's a sefer called Karban Ha'ani from Yaakov Katina. So he says a pshat. He says a pshat from the Vilna Gaon. Again, not the one that you have on the page in front of you. But in the Karban Ha'ani, it says that Avram, how did Avram keep all of Torah? Right, the Gemara says in Maseches Yomim and Kedushin that Avram kept all the Torah before it was given. How did Avram figure out the Torah?
He knew.
God Ruach HaKodesh, he heard a bas kol. He knew. How did he know? He knew from his limbs. He was able to look at his body parts and he realized that the Ramach Evarim correspond to the 248 mitzvot saseh. And the 365 sinews correspond to, the Gidin, correspond to the Lo Saseh. So Avram was able to look at his body and figure out the whole Torah. So it says the Vilna Gaon, Am naval v'lo chacham. What an unrefined people you are. Says Unkelis, Am de kabilo reis of v'lo chakimen. How tragic it is that you needed to receive the Torah. You weren't wise. Weren't wise like who? You weren't wise like Avram Avinu. The Gra says Avram Avinu was able to just look at himself and figure it out. It's Nebuch. If someone has to tell you what Hashem wants, I need an outside source to tell me what it is God wants. I have everything that I need programmed into me. So the Gra says that's one pshat. And again, this Targum Unkelis, Am naval v'lo chacham. What an unrefined people that you needed, as Unkelis says, you needed to receive the Torah. Too bad you couldn't be like Avram Avinu and figure it out internally. You needed someone to tell you. That's from the Sefer Karban Ha'ani, Rav Yaakov Katina, who's the Ravin Chust. Okay, but here in the Hakdama to the Biur HaGra and Shulchan Aruch, the grandson of the Vilna Gaon says, no one can figure out this Unkelis, and he gives us a different shot from his grandfather. He said, the Vilna Gaon explained as follows. And I want to use this, A, because it's in this week's Parsha, and B, because I think it's a Torah about just how awesome the Torah of the Vilna Gaon is. The Vilna Gaon came along and said, I figured it out. He quotes a Medrash. There's a Medrash, and some of us have spoken about this Medrash before. The Medrash says, in the name of Rabbi Chanina Bar Yitzchak. Now we read where it's underlined again. Gimel Novlos Hain. There are three Novlos. Maze Novlos. There are three Novlos. Novlos means there are three unripened forms of something that exists in a perfected form. Right? Meaning it's like a watered-down version of the real thing, of the real McCoy. So for example, Misa, right, and sleep. Misa and Shena have a connection. And when you go to sleep, it's novlos, it's an unripened version of death. It's a taste of death. Another example, novlos nevuah chalom. A taste of nevuah, of prophecy, is what? Is a dream. And the Gemara has, the Medrash has other examples as well. Rabbi Avin Mosif Od Tartin. Rabbi Avin added two more. Novlos orishamala galgal chama. if you look at the sun, that's a glimmer, it's a glimpse of what, of the Orish Mala, of the light that is beyond, whatever that means. And then says the Medrash, Novlos Chachma Shamala Torah. Our Torah is what? Is Novlos of Chachma, of the Chachma Shamala. What's Chachma Shamala? So we spoke about this on Hanukkah, we spoke about this on Yotas Kislev, we spoke about this on Lag BaOmer. Right? The Torah is Baal Shem Tov, Pnimiyas HaTorah, which is also the Torah, like on Purim, this is also the Torah of the Vilna Gaon, the inner world of Torah, right, is the real thing. Our Torah is just a taste of something that's so far beyond. There's a Torah of Mashiach. There's a Torah of Lasid Lavo. So our Torah is Novlos, it's a taste of the Chachma Shamala. So based on this, the Vilna Gaon explains, "Am naval v'lo chacham, v'hu adavar asher matza hamitargim." That's what Unklus was hinting to here. That "Am naval v'lo chacham," you got the watered down version of things. "Am at the kabila oraisa," you got the Torah v'lo chakimin, but you didn't get the chachma shamala. You're not there yet. Klal Yisrael was only on a level. Again, we receive the Torah in accordance with our level. So when you're on a low level, it just came out of Mitzrayim, you come to our Sinai, so you get the Torah. Which is already, it's not bad. I mean, the Torah as we have, it's not so bad. Right? But I'm naval v'lo chacham. Chaval, you didn't get the real thing. The chachma shamal. And again, I'm going to use this just as a springboard because the Vilna Gaon is someone who had access to the chachma shamal. While regular Jews, I'm naval v'lo chacham, we have regular Torah. But when you start to learn through the eyes, to see the world and Torah through the eyes of the Vilna Gaon, all of a sudden you get a little deeper into that chachma shamal. You get to experience a little bit more some of that chachma shamal. Okay, so let's see. Let's see some of the Chachma Shamal. Let's just see the unbelievable brilliance, the creativity, and just the sheer genius of the Vilna Gaon. Okay, Yoni reminded me, Rabbi Stein apparently shared this idea from the Vilna Gaon. Yoni reminded me about it today. Here's one of the places that it's printed. In the Olal Yaakov from the Dubna Magid, so there was a Jew by the name of Rav Avram Berish Flaum, who wrote his Hagos on the Olal Yaakov of the Dubna Magid. Now the Dubna Magid was a contemporary of the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon would often invite the Dubna Magid to give him mussar. Can you imagine? I was walking with someone today and he said to me, "You know, Rebbe, I need you to give me mussar." Okay, so it's one thing, you know, for your Rebbe who's a couple years older than you to give you mussar. It's another thing, you know, to try to give mussar to the Vilna Gaon. But that's what he did. The Dubna Magid was invited. The Vilna Gaon said, "I need mussar, you need to give me mussar." So Dubna Magid, the famous story goes, that Dubna Magid came to the Vilna Gaon and he said, "You think you're so great, you just sit in your room all day and learn. What's the big kunz of being a tzaddik if you cut yourself off from the world?" So the Gra said, the Gra heard it, but he said, "Not everyone needs to be a kunzmacher." Meaning what? Not everyone needs to, you know, I don't have to dafka go out to the world and like have nisyonos and then overcome those nisyonos. The Gra said, like, I don't need to necessarily engage the world. I'm doing fine over here. But again, he gave him mussar. So in the these footnotes, in the Svas Hayaria, which is this commentary on the bottom of the Ol Yaakov from the Dubna Magid, he has a var from the Vilna Gaon, and tonight we're going to talk about Yom Kippur, and we're going to talk about Sukkos. We'll see how far we get. Okay, an amazing insight of the Vilna Gaon into a couple of psukim in Parshas Emor about Yom Kippur. He says at the bottom here. He says on page 2. V'lo emna tov mehatzik po masha shamati b'shem Rabbeinu Hakadosh Hagon Rabbeinu Eliyahu Mivilna. I cannot hold back from sharing the following insight of the Vilna Gaon. He quotes in the second line of the pasuk. When the Pesukim and Parshas Emor describe the Mo'adim, and it goes through all the Yom Tovim, it begins, Eila Mo'adei Hashem, these are the Yom Tovim of Hashem, but it introduces it in a very strange way. It says, Eila Mo'adei Hashem, we're about to introduce the holidays, Pesach, Sukkos, Shavuos, yeah? And then all of a sudden, Umazeh Shekasav Po, Sheishes Yom Te'aseh Malacha, Ma'inyin Shabbos Lepo. It says we're going to introduce the Yom Tovim. And then it goes off on a little tangent about Shabbos. Is Shabbos one of the Yom Tovim? Why is he talking about Shabbos? So Rav Gedalia Shor has a piece in the Or Gedalia where he says that Shabbos is really the Shoresh of all the Mo'adim. Right? I mean, that's probably the simple shot. The reason that we introduce Shabbos before you get to Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos, etc. is because Shabbos is the Shoresh of all the Yom Tovim. Of all the Chagim and all the Zmanim. That are Kadosh, it all emanates from Shabbos. But the Vilna Gaon had an unbelievable chiddush here, a totally new way of looking at it. When the Pasuk says, "For 6 days you shall do your work," that's talking about Yom Tov, not Shabbos. 6 days. That's talking about the 6 days of the week. And then it says, Shabbos, you should rest. What are you talking about? How is that about Yom Tov? Elam Oadei Hashem. He says it only going, yes, this is about Yom Tov. How is it about Yom Tov? Ki ha-mo'ad b'chlal he-mashisha yamim. The 6 days of work refer to six of the Yom Tovim. 6 days of Yom Tov. B'chag ha-Pesach b'ez yamim. Pesach starts and ends, and we're talking about the ideal in Eretz Yisrael, obviously. It starts and ends with a Yom Tov. Harishon Mikra Kodesh, and Yom HaShvi is Mikra Kodesh. So Pesach is two. Shavuos is one day. So we're up to three. Sukkos starts and ends. Right, Sukkos Beis Yamim, Beyom Rishon Mikra Kodesh, Beyom HaShmini Mikra Kodesh. So Sukkos begins and ends. Rosh Hashanah, again, even though we have 2 days, even in Eretz Yisrael, Rosh Hashanah is Yom Echad. According to the Torah, it's one day. You can only have one Rosh Hashanah. B'chodesh HaShvi, Bech B'chodesh, Aleph Tishrei. So 2 days of Pesach, 1 day of Shavuos, 2 days of Sukkos, 1 day of Rosh Hashanah. 6 days. What's special about those 6 days? Im Kein Heima Shisha Yamim. These 6 days are one category of Yom Tov. V'yesh Od, where it's underlined. V'yesh Od Yom Echad Yom HaKippurim. But then there's also a seventh Yom Tov, Yom Kippur. But it's different. Aval Ein Dino Ke'elu Sheshes HaYamim. But Yom Kippur is different than the other 6 days corresponding to the other 6 days of Yom Tov. Ki b'chol eile mutter lasos maleches ochol nefesh levashe olafos. Because on those 6 days, on the first day of Sukkos, on the first day of Pesach, on the last day of Sukkos, on the last day of Pesach, on Shavuos, on Rosh Hashanah, a person is allowed to what? A person is allowed to cook. Ochel nefesh. They're allowed to be involved with cooking and baking on Yom Tov. The Yom Kippurim, Dino Keshabbos, Shagam Ze Aser. But Yom Kippur is like Shabbos, even though it's a Yom Tov, but you can't cook. Lafos is to bake. So now, says the Vilna Gaon, these psukim are not about Shabbos, these psukim are about Yom Tov. Sheishes yomim, asher b'hamu adim te'aseh malacha, uva yom ha-shvi, zeh yom ha-kippurim, Shabbos, Shabboson. You hear what he just did? The pasuk which we would have read to say the 6 days that you can do malacha means the 6 days, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And Shabbos is Shabbos. And then we're left with the question, why are you bringing Shabbos into the Parsha of the Mo'adim in Parsha Zemor? The Vilna Gaon says, no. The 6 days you can do Malacha is not Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It's 2 days of Sukkos, it's 2 days of Pesach, it's a day of Shavuos and a day of Rosh Hashanah. And then the Shabbos that's being described by the Pasuk is what? It's Yom Kippur. Where you can't do what Malacha? The Malacha of cooking and baking and eating. So he says, if that's true, v'midivrei chazal and divrei chazal nisbarli, based on this insight, I can explain the following. V'chol malacha lo se'asu be'etzem hayom hazeh ki yom kippurim hu v'chulu ki kol ha'nefesh asher lo su'ne v'nichrasa me'amel. He says, what's the pshat in that pasuk? You're not allowed to do malacha on Yom Kippur because anyone who doesn't fast is chayav kares. What does not doing malacha have to do with fasting? But based on this, it's mamish, you know, glatt kosher. The malacha that you can't do on Yom Kippur, that normally you can do on a Yom Tov, is what? Is cooking. And that's what the pasuk is saying. Don't cook on Yom Kippur. Why? Because anyone who eats on Yom Kippur is chayav kares. Mamish, two sides of the same coin. It's mamish a beautiful pshat. Okay, so again, this is just an unbelievable insight into the Vilna Gaon. None of us in a million years would have read the pasuk that way. And it answers this question, why bring up Shabbos in the context of Eila Moedei Hashem? Okay? And it's a Yom Kippur insight for us as well. Okay, let's turn the page. On the topic of eating on Yom Kippur, or lack thereof, right, we know that every Yom Tov has a counterpart, a parallel Yom Tov. We know from Zohar already, from Tikkuni Zohar, that Yom Kippur and Purim have a very interesting relationship. Now, it's important to realize that sometimes, you know, people think Yom Kippur is a scary day, and part of the proof that it's a scary day is we're too afraid to eat. But the Vilna Gaon understood that Yom Kippur is filled with simcha, and yes, there's a prohibition to eat on Yom Kippur, but we're going to make up all of that simcha on Purim. And the reason that Purim is mamish, the biggest simcha, is because Purim is really the continuation of Yom Kippur. The eating of Purim and the drinking of Purim is really what we would like to do on Yom Kippur because of the unbelievable joy that we feel in Yom Kippur. This is found in the Likutei HaGaon, page 3. It was hard to read in the actual Likutei HaGaon. So this is from the Sefer Likutei HaGaon Mo'adim, which is a later collection. Okay, look by the second arrow. Ki b'yom ha-kippurim she'ein bo achil v'shtiyah negdo Purim. The opposite of Yom Kippur, so to speak, the other side of the coin of Yom Kippur is Purim. V'lechein bo har be'mishneh. You need to realize that when you're celebrating the celebration of Purim, it's not just the joy of Purim. It's mamish. It's a carryover from the simcha of Yom Kippur. Ki ein lecha yom tov b'Yisrael ki Yom Kippurim, because there's no yom tov, as the Mishnah says at the end of Tanis, there's no yom tov as joyous as Yom Kippur. So again, when you're eating on Purim, you have to remind yourself that I'm not only celebrating the salvation of Purim, but I'm celebrating that every year on Yom Kippur, not only is the body of a Jew saved, but the soul of a Jew is completely cleansed. Lifnei Hashem titav. Okay, page number 4. This comes back to the Parsha, but I think it's really Yom Kippur part. It says in Parsha Ha'azinu, Ki chelak Hashem amo, Yaakov chevel nachalasam. In the footnotes in the Chavetz Chaim al Torah, in the Ma'ase Lamelech footnotes in the Chavetz Chaim al Torah, Rav Chaim Volozhiner, the student of the Vilna Gaon, once asked him a question. He said the following: Rav Chaim Volozhiner, hayim miskasha b'mayim rishal Tana de Be'aliyo. It says in the Medrash Tana de Be'aliyo that one of the midos of Hashem is that Hashem is sameach b'chelko. Hashem is sameach b'chelko. Hashem is happy with his portion. So Rav Chaim Volozhiner asks the Vilna Gaon, what on earth does that mean? Hashem is everything. What does it mean Hashem's happy with his portion? A Jew is struggling with his parnasa and has to appreciate that whatever he has from Hashem has to be sameach b'chelko. He's v'ashir sameach b'chelko. Hashem doesn't have a chelek. Hashem is everything. Everything belongs to Hashem. Hashem ha'aretz u'mulawa. The whole world is His. So he asked this plea, this wonderment before his Rebbe, and the Vilna Gaon said such a beautiful answer. And take this with you into Yom Kippur, especially in the final moments of Ne'ilah, when a Jew feels, he's negotiating, and he wants to know if he's worthy to be Omer Lefnei HaMelech, and he's going to receive the bracha of Lefnei Hashem Titaru. Remember this part. V'tshuvaso haisa, the Vilna Gaon said, Shakarish Baruch Hu Sameach B'chelko B'chol Matzaveyim. Who is the chelik of Klal Yisrael? Hashem is happy with his chelik in all situations. Even if Hashem's chelik, even if Hashem's stock, so to speak, takes a turn for the worse, shochin u'itam b'soch tumas, like the pasuk says in Chumash, that Hashem is shochin, Hashem dwells amongst us even in a state of tumah. Hashem will never abandon us. Sameyachu b'chol ze b'chelko shebachar lo Yisrael la'am. And who is Hashem's chelek? Who did Hashem draft, so to speak? First pick in the draft? At our Sinai Klal Yisrael. He chose Klal Yisrael. So it says in the Vilna Gaon, that's the pshat in the pasuk. Ki chelek Hashem amo. Ki chelek Hashem amo. The chelek of Hashem is amo. And Hashem is sameach b'chelko. That means even on those days where we disappoint the Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, I'm still sameach b'chelki. I'm happy with Klal Yisrael. Because the Mashvi explained to some of us this morning, Kadosh Baruch Hu's love for Klal Yisrael goes beyond anything. So Kadosh Baruch Hu sameach b'chelko. Yes, sometimes Klal Yisrael seems like a bad stock, a bad investment. But Kadosh Baruch Hu believes that it's going to turn around, it's going to rise back up, we're going to bounce back. And Kadosh Baruch Hu sameach b'chelko. That's what it means, Hashem is sameach b'chelko. Chelek Hashem amo. And again, it's such a chashuv vart to take with you into Yom Kippur. Okay, now we come to Sukkos. And I really want to get to Sukkos because this is probably the last year before Sukkos. And the Vilna Gaon's yard site's on Sukkos. So we need to be prepared to enter into the Yom Tov of Sukkos in the mindset of the Vilna Gaon. Vilna Gaon's yard site is Yotes Tishrei. Okay, here's some amazing insights from the Gaon Sukkos. Let's start from the beginning. Who was the first Jew to ever have a sukkah? Oh, he was the first Jew. He kept all of the Torah because he looked at his limbs and he figured out the Torah. Avraham Avinu. Right, that's why the Sfarim say that the dimensions of a sukkah are gematria Avraham. If you make a sukkah, let's see if we can do it again. I ran into trouble making it last time. A sukkah is how big? What's the minimum shear for a sukkah?
7 by
7. 7 by 7. Right? 7 by 7 with a height of 10 tefachim. Okay, so let's make our sukkah. So it's 7 by 10. One wall is 7 by 10. The second wall is 7 by 10. Right? So 7 by 10 is 70. And then another wall is another 70. So that's 140. The ceiling is 7 by 7. The floor is 7 by 7. So that's another 49 and another 49. So what's that?
96.
98. 140 plus 98 is?
248.
No?
238.
And then you need that final wall, which is what?
One.
The final wall is afilu tefach. So it's a tefach, it's 1 by 10. So it's 10. So that's 248 is gematria afra. Okay? What's the gematria of sukkah in miloy? Spell out sukkah in miloy. So samach, there's only one way to spell samach. Samach ben chaf. So that's 120. Chaf is Chaf Pei. So that's another 100. So that's 220. And then Vav and Hey, there's different ways to spell it. You could do Vav, Yud, Vav, and Hey, Aleph. Or you could do Vav, Aleph, Vav, and Hey, Yud. But it's also 248. Tzuk and Milo is 248. Yeah? There's a Vart from the Vilna Gaon, which you don't have on the page in front of you. The Vilna Gaon said there's two mitzvahs that a person does with their entire body. And it's Merumas in a Pasuk, in Tehillim, Perak Ayin Vav. The Pasuk puts together, Vayhi B'Shalim Suko, Uma'on Oso B'Tzion. The Vilna Gaon said the two mitzvahs you do with your entire body are Sukkah and Tzion. When you're in Eretz Yisrael, your whole body's in Eretz Yisrael. When you're in the Sukkah, your whole body's in the Sukkah. How many limbs are in your body? 248. So it makes sense that the dimensions of the Sukkah are 248, connected Avram, which is 248, because your whole body's in the Sukkah, which is 248.
Wait,
okay. The Pasuk in Tehillim mentions Sukkah and Tzion, which is Eretz Yisrael together. And the Vilna Gaon says that there's only two mitzvahs you do with your entire body. Your full body's in Eretz Yisrael when you're in Eretz Yisrael, and your full body's in the Sukkah when you're in the Sukkah. There's a lot. Okay, so we could give a whole shiur on that grah. No, there's a whole shiur on that grah, but also it goes back to something that some of us learned on the first day of the Zman, which is that the Sukkah is bechinas Eretz Yisrael. Right? That's why it always says, right? The Mishnah, let's say, when it talks about eating in the Sukkah, yeah, when it tells the story of different Tanaim and how they were makbet to even eat things that you didn't have to eat in the Sukkah, right? And they offered what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel figs and a thing of water, and he said, "Haleo, take it up to the Sukkah." So obviously the push-up shot and take it up to the sukkah is because the sukkah was on the rooftops. But as my brother once very wisely pointed out, right, whenever it talks about the sukkah, it always talks about aliyah the sukkah. Because the sukkah is Eretz Yisrael. You make aliyah, you go to Eretz Yisrael. So you always go up to the sukkah. Right? Like the Gemara says, wherever your Eretz Yisrael is the highest place in the world. You're always going up to Eretz Yisrael. So sukkah is like Eretz Yisrael. Okay, fine.
Equal 248, sorry.
So Avram is Gematria 248. The dimensions of a sukkah, minimum size of a sukkah, are 248. Sukkah, if you spell it out in Miloy, is 248. And you put all 248 of your limbs into the sukkah, just like you put all 248 of your limbs into Eretz Yisrael. Okay. So Avram is the first one to keep the mitzvah of sukkah. So there's a sefer called Kol Dodai. Kol Dodai, not Kol Dodi, Kol Dodai. On page number 5. And it says that Pam Achas, Bechol Amoed Sukkis, Be'isichas HaChag, Shol HaGro Zatzal, Minayin Shekiyim Avram Avinu Mitzvah Sukkah. The Gro once asked on Sukkis, on Bechol Amoed Sukkis, how do we know that Avram kept the mitzvah of Sukkah? No one could answer. Now there's a medrash that says that Avram Avinu kept the mitzvah of Sukkah. And the Vilna Gaon said, Here's a hint that Avram kept the mitzvah sukkah. The Medrash says, "Vashem beirachas Avram bakol." Hashem blessed Avram with everything. Says the Medrash, "Zo sukkah." That's not what Rashi says. Rashi says bakol is what? He had a son, right? Remember, Vasa says he had a daughter. Her name was Bakol. Yeah. Says the Medrash, Hashem gave Avram everything a person can need as a sukkah. That's a chashuv Medrash, no? Sukkah is everything you need. Your whole body's in it. Right? Some mitzvahs only serve as part of your body. The sukkah is everything you need. Vashem beirachas Avram bakol. Avram had everything. He's the all-encompassing man. Avram's gematria 248. He's everything. So the Vilna Gaon said, that medrash... So he said, anyone can explain the medrash? How does that pasuk teach us that Avram kept sukkah? So no one could answer. So the girl said, it's pashut. He says, bakol is Rashi Tevos, the following. When everyone couldn't solve the riddle, Vayomer, he says, Bakol is Rashi Tevos, the Beis is Basukos Teshu, the Chof is Kol Ezrach Bi Yisrael Yeshu Basukos, and the Lamed is Laman Yedu Dorosei from Ki Basukos, the Shabbos Ben Yisrael. Bakol. Basukos Yeshu Shevaz Miko. I think so. Okay, but three major Pesukim about the sukkah, basukos teishu shivas yamim, kol ezrach yisrael yeshu basukos, the man yeidu d'orasechem, ki basukos, hashavti yis b'nei yisrael, but tzio osam, meretz tzayim. I think it's three in a row. I think those three are in that order.
And Avram's connected to the sukkahs, right?
Yeah, are in that order? Okay. They're in that order. Good.
It's a bar mitzvah parasha.
So what's the shayla? What's the shayla you have on me? It's also my bar mitzvah parasha.
Oh.
Why don't I know it as clear as Chaim? Okay.
It's longer ago.
It's a longer ago. Okay. A goodly mitzvah. Ah, very good. Okay, Hashem, see, look how much your children love each other. Okay, beautiful. Okay, so that's amazing. No? Bakol. Hashem b'yachas Avram Bakol. Basukos Teshu. Amazing. So Avraham Avinu is the Shoresh of Sukkos. Okay, from there we go weiter. However, when is the Yom Tov of Sukkos? Starts on the 15th of Tishrei. So what's the famous question that the Torah has on that? Why on earth is the Yom Tov on the 15th of Tishrei when the Sukkos celebrate the fact that what? We sat in Sukkos, whether it's on Anei HaKavod or the Sukkos Mamish, when were we in the Sukkah? When we left Mitzrayim, what month was it?
Nisan.
No? So why is Sukkos in Tishrei? So what does the Torah say? What's the Torah's answer to this question? The weather, it's the weather answer, right? If we go into a Sukkah in Nisan, the weather's nice, and everyone sits outside in Nisan. Yeah? So we move it to a colder time, and that shows that we're really, you know, that we're really committed to mitzvahs. But the Vilna Gaon had a totally different approach. You're smiling because you know this part?
No.
Oh, this is a Gevaldik. This one you have to really know. And this, by the way, it's a Sukkot and Yom Kippur part. The Vilna Gaon on Shir HaShirim says, I'll tell you the real reason that Sukkot is on the 15th of Tishrei. And if you don't know this part, by the way, you've mamish never had Sukkot. You'll have a different Sukkot after this. I'm serious. I'm not trying to be like dramatic, and I'm being like very serious. You have to know this part. The Gra said, we sat in Sukkot on the 15th of Tishrei. He says, by the arrow on page 6, Gron Shir HaShirim. It's in Perak Aleph, Pasuk Dalet. Mashcheini Acharecha Narutza. The Gros says, Uvizem Beturitz Masha Hikshu. What everyone wants to know. Lama Nachnu Osim Sukkos Betishrei. Kevin Shu Neged Hekif Ananei HaKavod Hayaroi Lasos Benisan. Why not celebrate Sukkos in the time period when it actually happened? Kevin Nisan Haya Tchilas Hekif Ananim. That was the beginning of the Hekif, of the surrounding of the Ananim. Ananei HaKavod. Aval Nira Lefisha Kisha Asu Esa Egel Nistalko Ananim. Klai Yisrael, we're sitting in the Ananei HaKavod. When we made the Egel HaZahav, the cloud said, we're out of here. You're on your own, Jews. The clouds departed. When did the clouds come back? When they began to build the Mishkan. So says the Vilna Gaon, let's do a little math. When did they get the so to speak, the kapara, the eagle? When was there a chance to start over? Moshe comes down with the second luchos, when? Okay. On Yom Kippur. Moshe yard b'Yom Kippur. Uva macharas, on page 7. Uva macharas Yom Kippur. So Moshe comes down, and after Yom Kippur, vayakhel Moshe gathers the people, and he says, we need to build a Mishkan. V'tziva amalechas ha-Mishkan. So when was that? That was the next day. That's on the 11th of Tishrei. Vayakhel Moshe. Uksiv v'heim eviu ba-boker ba-boker. And how many days did they bring donations to the Mishkan? Baboker, Baboker. So on the 12th and on the 13th, they were bringing what? They were bringing donations. Od Beis Yamim. Harei Yud Gimel B'Tishrei. Uviyodali B'Tishrei Natu Kol Chacham Lev Mi Moshe Sazav Kaminin Mishkan. And then on the 14th, they made a Cheshvan, and everything was accounted for. So when did they actually start building the Mishkan? Tesvav Yischilu Lasos. On the 15th of Tishrei, they started to build the Mishkan, which was a return of Ashuras Hashchina, v'oz chazru Anani HaKavod. And then the Anani HaKavod came back. So says the Vilna Gaon, if you thought we're sitting in a sukkah, because we sat in sukkahs when we left Mitzrayim, that's only a small portion of the story. The real celebration of sukkahs is the fact that after we messed up royally with the Egel Azav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a chance to fix. And Klal Yisrael came back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem came back to Klal Yisrael. When? With Hashras HaShechina, or at least the beginning of that process, with the Binyan HaMishkan, which took place on the 15th of Tishrei. So when you go into your sukkah, that's mamish. It's mamish, a place of kapara, of tshuva. It's a place of second chances. There's a lot to say about this girl. But it's an amazing insight. Again, our whole life, you go with these like very dachuk answers. Why are we having sukkahs in Tishrei if sukkahs is Nisan? And the girl, mamish, glat. A beautiful insight. No, the 15th of Tishrei, that's the real Sukkos. You thought the Ananei HaKavod that we had when we left the time? No, the real Ananei HaKavod, or the Ananei HaKavod that we got the second time. That even after we messed up, there's always a chance to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu back into your life. That's what Sukkos is really about. Okay? Yeah. Can I say something?
Yeah, I just want to point out that it disagrees though. First of all, one of the founders, who said that of
Sukkos Mamash. Sukkos Mamash, okay.
And even it's a shiloh, this is what the one who said on Ananei HaKavod.
Right. Okay. So. But it's it's another piece in the puzzle. You're right. Kipshuta, we have to stick with the regular answer. But again, here's a beautiful, deep and fresh approach, which again sheds light on the whole nature of the tshuva process of you know, Sukkos. Sukkos has a lot to do with tshuva. Mirat Hashem, we'll get to that in Kedushas Levi, maybe next week, Thursday morning, I don't know, sometime soon. Okay, page number 8. We quoted one of the earlier shirim, a sefer called Likutei Nisim, of Nisim Bakohen Rabin. And he asks a question that many others ask, and the Gra is not the only one to give this answer, but he brings it b'shem the Gra. Why do we have a Yom Tov called Sukkos? And coming off of that last answer, we have a new appreciation for Sukkos. But if you think about the miracles that we had in the desert, we also had the Mun, we also had the Be'er, Be'er Shel Miriam. Why don't we have a Yom Tov that commemorates the Mun or the Be'er? Meaning we have a Yom Tov that commemorates the house we lived in, the Anani HaKavod, but we don't have a Yom Tov that commemorates the food that we ate. Why? So he says the following. Sukkos zecher l'anani hakavod. My time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tziva sukkos zecher l'anani hakavod. Why do we have a yom? Now we do have things zecher to the man, and maybe even to the be'er. Some of the things on Shabbos that we do are zecher to the man. The fact that we cover the chal on top and on bottom. The Rama says people should have deli roll on Shabbos, shtida, shakor and mulyusa, which is zecher to the man, which was covered on top and bottom. Right, the man was covered on top and bottom. So there's things we do on Shabbos Zecher. We don't have a Yom Tov remembering the Man. So why do we have a Yom Tov remembering the Ananei HaKavod? Kushyo lama lo asa Zecher l'man. Nes Asper talks about this question. Ola Be'er. Halo shlosha matanos nasar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. We had three gifts in the Midbar. We had amazing food. We had amazing drinks. And we had amazing housing. So why is the Ananei HaKavod the only one that gets the Yom Tov? So he says in the third line, V'yesh lomar, ki manu be'er mayim, ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu chayev lezonim. See, when it came to the food, Hashem had to give us food. There's not really an option to not give us food. Right? You can't take an entire nation into the wilderness and not feed them. So you'll say, but Hashem gave us nice food. Okay, once he's giving, he gave extra nice. Right? Yeah, it's like Shiner's tent. Right. Once you're having food, you have nice food. Did Hashem have to surround us with an Ani HaKavod? Again, one opinion is Sukkos is Sukkos Mamish. Right? We didn't need an Ani HaKavod. We could have lived out in the wilderness. We could have slept under the stars. We would have survived. The fact that Hashem went above and beyond to give us an Ani HaKavod, that's Mamish Chesed Hashem. Masha'en ken an Ani HaKavod. Shiva Yaseirame. That is seven extra gifts according to that opinion that the Ananei HaKavod were seven. Six on all sides plus one in front. The Lace of Bechol over there. No one has that kind of, you know, transportation. To have a 5-star hotel that transport that, you know, that drives around? To live in such an environment? That's Mamish above and beyond. V'lezen itzavinu laso sarak zecher l'Ananei HaKavod. B'shem Hagra. In the name of the Gra, he says this part. Again, the B'nai Yisrael brings this as well. I think maybe the name of the Chida, I don't remember. But the Gra says that's again part of the Chesed Hashem that we have to feel when we sit in the sukkah. I didn't have to have an Ani HaKavod. I had to have food. And once I'm having food, Hashem gave us good food. But I didn't have to have an Ani HaKavod. I could have slept under the stars. I could have slept in tents. I could have slept in sukkos mamish. The fact that Hashem went above and beyond with an Ani HaKavod is mamish a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we have to really appreciate it in a very deep way. Okay, here's one of the deepest Gras that I know. Really, just onus in terms of just learning a pasuk, and it's the type of pasuk that you never would even stop to ask the question. Okay, this again is from the Sefer Kol Dodai that we quoted a couple pages earlier, and it's mamish an amazing insight of the Gra based on the Psukim and Parshas Pinchas, and it's nogeya to Sukkos, and you'll see why very quickly.
Is this the Talmud?
Okay, no, this is a much later Sefer. Again, I don't know where he got this B'Shem the Gra, but he brings this B'Shem the Gra. Shemati B'Shem Rabbeinu HaGadol HaGra Zatzal. If you look in the Psukim in Parshas Pinchas, by the Parei HaChag, yeah? We know that over the course of Sukkos we bring, how many Parim? How many bulls are brought? 70 bulls. Why do we bring 70 bulls?
70 nations.
How do you know that? Pesach HaSukkah. Ar Masechta. Okay? Now says the Gra, let's read the Psukim carefully. It says, "Biyom Aleph Shal Sukkos," when it talks about bringing the bulls on the first day of Sukkos, and it describes the other karbanos that are also brought. It says, "Usiir izim echad chatas." Chatas. No, I took out the lamb because it's not in the pasuk. You got to look up the. What do you mean? You have it? I put it in bracket. I put it in parentheses for you. I think I cross it out, but the pasuk is "Usiir izim echad chatas." Okay. All right, great. On the second day of Sukkot, it also says, Seir Izim. All of a sudden, on the third day of Sukkot, it says, Bashlishi, it says, Seir Chatas Echad. Why is it called Seir, not Seir Izim? On the fourth day, it says, Seir, it goes back to Seir Izim. And then the rest of the way, it's just Seir, Seir, Seir. What happened to Seir Izim? Why does it sometimes say Seir, and sometimes say Seir Izim? Says the Gra, where it's bolded in his name. Ba'amar HaGraza. It says in Maseches Sukkah, Shepare Yachag Hi Keneged Shivim Umos. The 70 bulls that are brought over the course of Sukkot correspond to the 70 nations of the world. Uvizara Kadosh Isa Sheikra Hashivim Umos Hu Yishmal the Esav. The 70 nations are all subcategories of two primary enemies of Klal Yisrael, namely Yishmal and Esav. Yishmal and Esav. Okay, Vishar Umos Yonkim Mehem, and each of the nations receive from them, and it's divided 50-50, or in other words, 35-35. There are 35 sub-nations of Yishmael and 35 sub-nations of Esav. Yeah, secondary nations under the domain or the dominion of Esav. Says the Zohar Kadosh and the Sifrei Mekubalim, Seir Izim is a code word for Yishmael. Sa'ir, Seir is a code word for Esav. V'cheinu b'slichos on Shivasar b'tamuz, Hatzafir v'hasa'ir. Sa'ir is Esav. So now, based on these hakdamos, says the Vilna Gaon, unbelievable. How many bulls do you bring the first day of Sukkot?
13?
7.
It's 13.
You count down, right? It goes down every day. So how many on the first day?
13.
You're right. 13. Well, that's the sire, right? Meaning it talks about the parim, the bulls that are offered, and then it says the sire that's brought. But for some reason it keeps switching between seir izim and sire.
What's the definition of a seir and a seir?
A goat.
What's a seir izim?
A goat. So that's exactly the girl's question. Why does it sometimes say sire and sometimes says seir izim? So the girl says because sire. Right? Sa'ir is a code for Esav. Seir Izim is a code for Yishmael. So, Chevra, let's do the math. On the first day, how many bulls are brought?
13.
Yeah? So it says Seir Izim. Keneged? Yishmael. The second day, it says Seir Izim, and that's how many bulls? 12. Keneged? Yishmael. What happens if the third day it says Seir Izim? So that's 13 plus 12 plus 11 would be how many? 36. That's too many. So on the third day, it switches over to Seir, which is Esav. Yeah? So now, how many do we have so far? So Yishmael has 25. Write it down. You got to write it down. You have to write this one out. Yeah? Again, days 1, 2, and 4, it says Seir Izim. Days 1, 2, and 4 is Seir Izim.
1 is 13, 2 is...
And so first, let's do it. First, let's write it. Yeah? So days 1, 2, and 4 is Seir Izim. And days 3, 5, 6, 7, it says Seir. So how many bulls are on day 1?
13.
How many bulls are on day 2? 12. How many bulls are on day 4? 10. So 13 plus 12 plus 10 is 35. Okay? Now let's do Esav. Yeah? Day 3 is how many bulls?
11.
Okay? Day 5?
9.
Is 9, so that's 20. Day 6? How many bulls?
8.
That's 28. And day 7 is 35. So the Gra says, that's how you read the Pasuk in Parshas Pinchas. Whenever it says Seir Izim, it refers to Yishmael. Whenever it says Seir, it says to Esav. And it has to go back and forth to make sure that they each have 35, because there are 35 nations under both Esav and Yishmael.
How many Yishmael is connected to 7
or 7? So I once heard a whole different Mahalath from the Stuchina Rebbe on these Pesukim, which is also Vilna Gondik, like totally beyond. Not going to go into that right now. But again, you have to work it out. Why days 1, 2, and 4 are connected Yishmael? Oh, you're there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. Right. So you have to work out why 1, 2, and 4 is connected Yishmael, and 3, 5, 6, 7 is connected Esav. And again, like we started off the Shir tonight, yeah? The Torah that we have, if you just read it with our eyes, it's novelos of the Chachma Shomal. When you read it with the Vilna Gaon's eyes, all of a sudden you start to see. Yeah, you can't have a moon age after this kind of stuff. I really think that's the pshat. I told some of you, that's like my new mahalik with like a moon issues. Just learn Torah, like learn it deep, and you won't have a moon issues. It's a medrash in Eicha Rabba. The medrash says, halavai the Jewish people would abandon me and cling to my Torah, the light of Torah would bring them back. So what does that medrash mean? It's a medrash in Eicha. What does it mean to abandon Hashem and cling to the Torah? So I think the pshat is, when you're getting stuck on like God, yeah? And you're philosophizing about Hashem, like Hashem says, no, stop, like don't talk about me, don't try to figure me out. Don't like try to understand me, as Hashem. Just learn my Torah and the light of Torah, the pimius of Torah. You won't have any questions with you. You'll see, the whole system will snap into place. I don't have the answer to the Holocaust just because, you know, I learned the deep part from the Gra. But I also believe that there could be a Rabbanu Shalom, and there could also be a Holocaust, Rahman al Islam. Like, meaning you're able to believe in a Kaddish Baruch when you see the depth of the Torah. I really think that's the pshat of the Medrash. Abandon me, stop talking, don't philosophize about God. Just learn Torah deeply and it'll prove itself. My mamish think that's the pshat in that Medrash Neich. Okay? So let's just review for a second. So we learned that Bakol Avram is the first Jew based off Lamed. Then we learned why Sukkot is really in Tishrei. Now we just had an understanding of, why there's even a Yom Tov for the Ananei Kavod when there's no Yom Tov for the Man and the Be'er. And now we learned about the Karbanos of Sukkot. Okay? Now we come to probably the most famous Vart from the Gra. In terms of a comment that appears in Maseches Sukkah. Okay? Everyone here around this table knows that if it rains on Sukkot, it's a bad sign. It's a Mishnah in Maseches Sukkah. So let's learn from the Dvar Eliyahu. In the back of the Dvar Eliyahu, which is a collection of insights of the Gra on Sefer Iyov, in the back in the Likutim, it brings this Var. The first time I heard this Var was in Camp Masora from Rav Meir Goldvich Shlita. And I remember saying, like, wow, what an awesome Var from the Gra. Okay, but now we get to, here we are 12 years, 15 years later, and we're still more than that. Wow, getting old. Okay, so here's the part. Hayugishamim, if it rains on Sukkot, it's a bad sign. And the Mishnah says a mashal. Mashal, mashal, le'evet shaba limzo kos l'rabo, v'shafach lo kiton shamayim al panav. It's like a servant who comes to dilute his master's wine, and he splashes him in the face. He takes it and he pours it in his face. Now, if you're reading the Mishnah, you'll think, what is he pouring in his face? The servant's walking in with a pitcher of water. He's coming to dilute the wine. The king doesn't want this servant to serve him. So you would think he takes the cup of wine that the king takes the wine that he's holding, and he splashes it in the servant's face. But Rashi says, no. Rashi on the spot in the Gemara says, Kiton Shalmaim. He takes the water out of his hand and splashes the water back in his face. So the Gemara says, what's that about? What's the secret of why rain is so bad on Sukkot? So the Gra explained as follows. Inyan mashal ze amar Rabbeinu Agonza. Imasha noda ki Rosh Hashanah v'yom kippurim hem yomei din. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is a time of din. It's like the red wine. Some have a hosafa to this Gra. They say it's not just the red and the white of the wine. It is also part of it, even though it doesn't say that in this piece that we're reading. But the red wine, so to speak, represents what? The king holding the red wine represents what? The yomei din. V'achareyim yimei achag v'mitzvos lakichas alulav v'yeshivas hasukkah v'ayamim ha'elahim yimei rachamim laham tikadinim. What's the role of Sukkot after Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? It's a zman of Ava, right? It's a zman of Simcha. The Vilna Gaon actually said, I don't know if this is written in any like the classic Svarim of the Gra, but it's brought in many other, you know, later Svarim, that the Vilna Gaon said that the hardest mitzvah for a Jew to keep is what? To be happy for the entire period of Sukkot, not to get frustrated, not to get angry, to be in a state of mamish pure joy for the entire Sukkot. The Vilna Gaon said, that's the hardest mitzvah in the whole Torah. To be that on the simcha for so many days in a row, you know, not till you accidentally stub your toe, you know, and like for a moment feel pained, or someone upsets you, you know, someone gets you angry about something. To mamish be in a state of true emesdik Torah dik simcha for the whole yantiv, that's the hardest mitzvah in the world. So Sukkot comes to Sweden to dilute, so to speak. That's what this mashal is. The melech is holding a cup of red wine, and the eved Klal Yisrael are coming to what? We want to dilute the wine, we want to pour the water into the wine. But what happens if a Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want the wine to be diluted? What happens if Hashem doesn't want the din to be sweetened? So what happens? The melech takes what? He takes the pitcher of water out of our hand and he splashes it back in our face. That's what rain is on Sukkot. The Gra said when it rains on Sukkot, it's Hashem's way of saying, I don't want you to have the sukkah to sweeten the dinim of the Yom Nora. He says, four lines on the bottom, Al number redes keshamim. If it rains and that takes away the mitzvah of sukkah, he needs a aid mischak ne'aman ki hu yisbarach eino chafetz chas v'shalom lafasher hadinim. Hashem doesn't want to compromise the midas hadin. Ki im sheyesh aru b'tokfam b'gvurasam kasher hayu, to leave it as it is. And that's what it means. Hashem doesn't splash the wine in our face. He splashes the water in our face. He says, I don't want you to water down my midas hadin. The melech sits on his throne and says, God forbid, I don't want you to water down the midas hadin. That's why rain is a siman klala on Sukkot. And I think if you understand that the girl lives by this part, you'll have an even deeper appreciation for it. Turn to page 16 for a second. This is from, right, so again, this is applied in Chutz L'Aretz, Eretz Yisrael. Okay, we spoke about it, some of us in regular morning shiur. Yeah? But the Vilna Gaon was very particular about trying to beat the rain on Sukkot. This is from the article biography of the Vilna Gaon, on page 100. On the left-hand side, on page 16. The Gaon had numerous stringencies with respect to the mitzvah of dwelling in a sukkah. If it was raining on the first night of the festival, he insisted on waiting all night if necessary, until it was possible to eat at least an olive-sized piece of bread in the sukkah, and forbade going to sleep until the mitzvah had been fulfilled, in case the rain stopped while one was sleeping. So you see, the Gaon understood how serious it is. If it rains on sukkahs, and we're kicked out of the sukkah, that means that the midas hadin of Yom Noram is not going to be sweetened. Yeah? Right? He was extremely careful never to sleep outside of the sukkah, even the shortest of naps. The Gaon was once imprisoned during sukkahs for a period of a few days. The Gaon went to jail several times in his life. He did everything possible to keep from dozing, running back and forth in his cell, holding his eyelids up by the lashes. Imagine?
No.
No, I can't imagine either. Okay, but again, you see how much the Vilna Gaon understood the chashivas and just how precious the sukkah is to Klal Yisrael. Okay, Chaver, let's finish up. Let's go back to page 12 and let's wrap up with a few more insights from the Vilna Gaon about sukkah. And when I say sukkah, I literally mean the word sukkah. Okay, check this out. It's unbelievable. This is a famous idea from the Gra. It's found in a sefer called Shalmei Yosef in his drashos for Shabbos Shuvah or Shlomo Yosef Levin. And he says the following in the name of the Gra. Okay, in this Shabbos Shuvah drasha, he's talking about the importance of taking every letter of Torah seriously. And if we've learned anything in the three shurim we've had from the Vilna Gaon so far, that every letter has something to say. So he writes, V'gam ha'alef beiz v'osios menatzbach sofim amru. Every letter of the aleph beiz, the sofit letters, mem nun tzadi pei chaf sofit, those are also mamish ruach hakodesh. Ki yesh gam behen ta'alumos chachma v'ein cheker l'choga kafas ha'torah ha'arucham eretz mida. And it's endlessly deep, filled with secrets. V'ein gvul excuse me. V'ein gvul v'tachlis l'ashkafasa. There's an endless depth.
Turn it down.
No, thank you. There's an endless depth to every letter of Torah. Kesher shalu lahagra, when they asked the Vilna Gaon, how did Chazal know the dimensions of a sukkah? Lahachshir sukkah shal shtei mechitzos kilchasim v'shlishas afilu tefach. How do we know that a sukkah can be two walls and even a tefach on the third wall? So the Vilna Gaon said it's pashut. Anakitzarach ledas is a aleph beis. You need to know the aleph beis. So I said, with the aleph beis of stuff. Sukkahs? No, literally the aleph beis, the letters of the aleph beis. Shalosh osios betevos sukkah. Look at the word sukkah. The samach is enclosed on all sides. The chaf is enclosed on three sides. And the hay is two walls and a tefach. The hay is a little bit separated. Yeah, that's the halacha. It can be a little bit separated. You can make an imaginary wall. So the Vilna Gaon said, how did Chazal know that you could have a four-wall sukkah, a three-wall sukkah, or even a two- and a tefach-wall sukkah? It's mamash what the word sukkah says. Samach on all sides, chaf on three sides, hey, two sides and a tefach. Pasha, no? It's pasha. Amazing. Let's go a step further. Let's learn something else about the word sukkah. On page 13, the drashos, Nachas David. Of David Tevel. He was a big Gaon. He wrote Shas and Chuvos. He has Svarim and Shas. Amazing Drashos. He quotes from the Vilna Gaon that the word sukkah, now let's spell it in Malay, Samach Vav, the way we would normally spell it, Samach Vav Chaf Hey. The Gra pointed out, isn't it interesting that each of those four letters come from a different part of speech? Samach, Samach comes from the shinayim, the teeth. Vav comes from the lips. Chaf comes from the palate. Hey comes from the throat. There are five parts of speech. Which one's missing? So the only gone said, the lashon, the tongue. The tongue is missing. Why is the tongue missing? Why are the four letters of sukkah, samach, vav, chaf, hey, come from four parts of speech, but not the tongue? He says, because part of what the sukkah is doing, part of what the sukkah is serving us to do, to create, and to achieve, is what? Is to protect us from lashon hara. There's a pasuk that says, it's in the pasuk in Eicha, sakosu ba'anan, lecha me'avur tefila. I think I got it right. Sakosa ba'anan lecha me'avur tefila. That a cloud blocks your tefila. So Rabbi Yonasan Ayyavsh said, when we speak Lashon Hara, the hevel, right? You know that clouds are being formed when you speak. On a cold day, you see it with your own eyes. So on those days that you can't see it, clouds are being formed. When you speak Lashon Hara, you're creating negative clouds, which are going to serve as a blockage from allowing your tefilas to ascend to the heavens. The sukkah is the holiest clouds in the world. It's a place of holy speech. That's why the Mishnah Berurah says you have to be careful not to speak any type of Dvar B'Teilim in the Sukkah. Certainly not Lashon Hara. And Tzaddikim made a big inyan. There were some Tzaddikim who were very careful not to talk Stam Diburim in the Sukkah. Because the Sukkah is a tikkun for the Lashon. The Sukkah is a place where a Jew can go to be metaki in his Shmiras HaLashon. So he says, the Vilna Gaon said there's a pasuk that says in Tehillim, three lines from the end where it's boxed off, Titzpenem Basukko Meiriv Lishonos. So the Gra says, yeah, Pasha. Titzpenem Basukko, hide in the Sukkah, Meiriv Lishonos. From the Machlokas that comes from speech. So the Gra says, yes, hide in the Sukkah. Look at the letters of Sukkah. Samach Vav Chafei. And then you'll be able to protect yourself if you realize that the lamed is missing. Make sure you're careful with your lashon. The sukkah has to be a place that protects us, where we're creating clouds of what? Clouds of holiness. That the speech, the hevel piv, the breath of man, which is creating clouds, right? With the very breath that we speak, has to be corrected through the sukkah. And he says, he concludes in the last two lines, he says, V'lezos chag sukkah sukkah gula achrona. Sukkah has a big theme. You see it in the Kriyas HaTorah, in the Haf Torah, even more so, of Sukkis, that there's a very Geuladic theme on Sukkis, which again is a big Inyan. Specifically, the Geula Achrona, this final Gullus, and what's the chait of this Gullus? Sinas Chinam. And Sinas Chinam comes about by speaking Lashon Hara about our fellow Jews. Sinas Chinam and Lashon Hara cause, right? Mara says, Mufurash. Lashon Hara cause for Bias Cheney. So Sukkis, which is Keneged, the fourth Gullus, which is Keneged, the Gula Shlema, has to be connected to Shmir HaLashon, and that's why, again, the four letters of Sukkah correspond to the four parts of speech with the Lashon being left out. Make sure you leave your Lashon Hara out of the Sukkah. Okay, famous story, page 14. In the Hakdama to the Pasa Shulchan, I'll just tell you the story outside, because I want to finish in the next 2 minutes. The story is that the Vilna Gaon was once speaking. This is a classic sefer from one of the Talmidim of the Gra, Pasa Shulchan, Rabbi Yisrael of Shklov, Rabbi Yisrael Shklover. He says that one time the Vilna Gaon was speaking about the importance of knowing a Masechta Baal Peh. Why? Because what am I going to do when I'm walking around? What am I going to do when the power goes out and I can't learn from Svar? So I need to know a Masechta Baal Peh. So one of the Talmidim took it seriously and he learned Masechta Sukkah Baal Peh. Yeah? He came to the Vilna Gaon, he said, I'm ready to be tested on Masechta Sukkah. So the Gra says, is it okay if I ask you a couple questions? Right? He says, Rabbi, I took your words to heart, I learned it Baal Peh. So the Gra says, can I just ask you a couple questions? So he says, I know the whole thing Baal Peh. You can't stop me. So the Gra says to him, tell me, how many machloksim are there between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda Masechta Sukkah? How about Abaye and Rava? How about Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon? Guy couldn't answer the question. Gra says, you claim you know the Masechta? How many sukkos psulos are there? And how many sukkos ksheros are there in the Masechta? Yeah, you want to crawl under a rock when you hear this story. Yeah? The Gra says, I'll give you a remez to remember it. How many sukkos psulos are there? How many sukkos psulos are there? 85. Samach, Chaf, Hey. The Gra says, go through the Masechta, you'll count up 85 scenarios of a sukkah that's not kosher. And how many sukkos ksheros are there? Samach, Vav, Chaf, Hey. 91. The Gra says, you think you know the Masechta? Then go learn a little more. A lot to learn. The word sukkah is meramis, the number of right? Sukkah chaser, the sukkah spelled missing the vav, is the number of psulos, and sukkah with the vav is the number of ksheros. And again, as he writes here at the beginning of his Hakdama to the Pasa Shulchan, he says, my Rebbe knew this about every Masechta, Bavli, Yerushalmi, Tosefta, Midrashim. It's a totally different thing. It's like a level that's so off the charts. And it's amazing to know that we're part of the same, you know, part of the same nation as this Jew who once walked planet Earth.
Did you ever see the video of that kid?
Unbelievable.
That kid who went to...
I heard this mice about this kid. I never saw the video. Okay, I want to just end.
Since we're already told about, with knowing it's on the Torah Rabbanan and...
Yeah, exactly. I was saying. Nachum Pesach in the 1980s. He knew Shas also, he knew every word. It's just unbelievable. It's mamish having your back pocket like that is amazing. Okay, I want to just end. It's something that I actually shared on the first day of Shir with some of you. In the Sefer Milin Chadatin, I shared it from a different source, but in the Milin Chadatin, it quotes from the Vilna Gaon, explaining the Gemara Masechta Sota. The Gemara says that Torah protects you at all times, but mitzvahs only protect you at the time that you're involved with it. So the Vilna Gaon said, what does that mean? It means that a mitzvah only works in its season. So if I'm going to try to shake a lulav on Pesach, it's not going to work. If I'm going to eat matzah on Sukkot, it's not going to work. But if I learn Hilchot, if I learn the Torah of Pesach in a sukkah, that works. That's a schus. And if I study Masechta Sukkah on Pesach, the person mamish gets schar for Talmud Torah. So the Gra said that's what it means. A mitzvah protects you be'idna the asikba at the time, meaning at its season in the right time. But Torah protects a person all the time, meaning you can learn the wrong type of Torah, so to speak, in the off season, and it still protects a person. So I want to just use this idea from the Gra to be mechazik ourselves. To continue, if you can learn, okay, what's the Gra saying? The Gra says if you learn Masechta Sukkah on Pesach, it's a gevaldik thing. So alachas kam v'kama. If you learn Masechta Sukkah, which is our yeshiva's Masechta, on Sukkahs, all the more so it's a gevaldik thing. So everyone should make sure to learn a lot of Masechta Sukkah to continue the limud of our yeshiva over the course of Yom Tov. Okay, the final page, since the yard side of the Gra is on Sukkahs, I'll just tell you the story about the day that the Vilna Gaon died. On Erev Yom Kippur, he called to his sons and all his grandchildren and began to bless them. All present were seized with violent trembling. The Gra had been sick and he got better and he got sick and he got better on the final pitch. 2 days before Sukkot, Rav Shmuel Yudis, one of the leaders of the community, who brought him a beautiful esrog every year, came in with that year's esrog. But in place of the great joy that he had formerly shown upon receiving the esrog, the Gaon broke out in bitter tears when he grasped the esrog in his trembling hands. Despite his critical condition, the Vilna Gaon gave instruction that the bed to which he was confined be brought into the sukkah. Amazing, no? The day of his passing was the third day of Chol HaMoed, 5558. The Gaon was awake at the first crack of dawn and asked that the Dal Minim be brought to him. With great joy, he made the bracha over the Dal Minim and he waved them. Following the ancient custom of the Torah scholars of Yerushalayim, like it says in the Gemara, he continued to hold the Dal Minim in his hand. This he did until the time arrived for his departure from the world. Mamash till the moment of Shas Yetzias Neshama, he was holding on to his Dal Minim. Just before his passing, the Vilna Gaon, this is the famous story, he grabbed onto his tzitzis and he said, how difficult it is to leave this world. In this world, for a few kopecks, a person can purchase tzitzis. And as a reward for the simple mitzvah of tzitzis, he can merit to experience the Shekhinah in the world to come. But in the upper world, he can no longer earn anything, even if he exerts all his energy. For a couple pennies in this world, you can buy tzitzis, which is keneged kulam. And in the next world, for all the money in the world, you can't buy mitzvahs. From the elders to the children, there was virtually no male in Vilna who did not attend the Gaon's Levaya. For Mincha, there was not even a minyan present in the great synagogue in Vilna. The Gaon have requested Rav Sadia, the son of Rav Nosson Nata, his personal gabbai, to make sure that he was buried in the kosher talis, which is against the whole question, to bury in the talis with tzitzis or not. And then they said, Haspedim. And I want to just end on the right side of the page. Even among the great Hasidic leaders of the time, with whom the Gaon had waged a fierce battle, Hashem Shemayim, his loss was mourned. It was said that Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditchev sensed the Vilna Gaon's passing even before he was informed of it. Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi, the Baal Tanya, placed his head on a table upon learning of the Gaon's passing and remained in that position for a long time. Upon rising, he said, I have suffered a great personal loss. For now, the opposition to me will come from heaven. And he felt that the Gra was his opponent, but it was L'Shem Shemayim. He says, now I'm going to have to contend with Kochos from a different world. So, we should think about the Vilna Gaon as we're sitting in our sukkah on the third day of Chol HaMoed Sukkos. We should think about the Vilna Gaon. Think about his yahrzeit. Think about some of these Torahs from the Gra. And then Amir Tzashem. Sukkos should be the Geula. Like the Vilna Gaon said, it's his man of Geula. And we'll be zochet, Simchas Beis Shoeva, the Vilna Gaon, Tchias Meisim. Amen.
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 Shkoyach.